Hello, welcome to this podcast, which is entitled The Poetry Film Nexus, Intermediality and Indiscipline in Latin American Audiovisual Cultures. This is an introductory podcast to an event which Ben Bollig and I are organizing in the framework of Pandemonio 2020, organized by the Journal of Latin American Cultural Studies. My name is David Wood. I'm a researcher at the Institute of Aesthetic Research at UNAM, the National University in Mexico City. And I'm also a co-editor of the Journal of Latin American Cultural Studies.
And I'm Ben Bollig, and I'm also one of the co-editors of the Journal of Latin American Cultural Studies. And I teach Spanish American literature and film at the University of Oxford. And my own interest in this project stems from that meeting between a long-standing interest in poetry and a more recent attempt to look at how poetry appears in film. My own approach to poetry is linked to this kind of cultural studies interest in poetry, which is how one can read poetry in context, how one can read poetry not as a kind of privileged genre or discipline with others, but one amongst many. And this is also linked to what might be called the film studies turn in modern languages, particularly with the emergence of disciplines like world cinemas in languages departments, particularly in the UK. But I'm also very interested in the way in which poetry comes off the page. So, for example, phenomenon like the poetry slam, or in the case of Argentina, the way a poet like Sergio Raimondi has used poetry within the Museo del Puerto, which is an oral history museum in the city of Bahía Blanca, which has got these eminently poetic notices alongside its exhibits. And alongside that, I also have become recently very interested in films, particularly from Argentina, which is the area that I work on in most detail, where poetry appears within the fabric of the film, poetry both as part of the script, but also poetry as a source for themes and techniques. And I'm thinking here of directors like Gustavo Fontan and Raul Perrone. And Perrone is a filmmaker who's particularly dear to us. He's on the cover of the book, which David and I are co-editing together and on which this panel is partly based.
The book that Ben's just mentioned is a book that's going to come out next year, published by Legenda, and it's called The Poetry Film Nexus in Latin America, Exploring Intermediality on Page and Screen. This is a book which comes out of a longer project that Ben and I have been working on for some years. My own interest in this project comes from the other side, in a way, from Ben. I'm a film scholar, mainly. I work on Mexican, Latin American cinema, mainly documentary and experimental film. And I'm interested in different ways in which we can talk about the poetics of cinema and different relationships that film and poetry as distinct but interlocking media work in relation to one another. Part of my interest here is to do with a turn towards looking at intermediality within film studies, decentering cinema itself as a privileged institution, and looking at how film poetics are constructed in dialogue with other artistic media. So part of this is looking at how cinema takes elements from poetry, from theatre, from sculpture, from the novel, etc., in order to create a certain set of expressive resources. This is particularly evident. I think the presence of poetry is particularly interesting when we're looking at avant-garde cinema and when we're looking at political cinema, which are modes of filmmaking which are trying to create a different spectator to the mainstream to the spectator of mainstream cinema, which trying to find a set of expressive artistic resources in order to activate the spectator, in order to create engagement and critique. And the use of poetry and poetic constructs is particularly fruitful for a lot of filmmakers in trying to create this different kind of engagement. In terms of my own research, I've recently been looking quite a lot at found footage, different kinds of montage in contemporary and historical cinema, mainly in Mexico, but also in other countries as well. And the link between poetry and cinema is particularly interesting in found footage filmmaking, because what found footage is all about is taking distinct pieces of film made in different times and spaces with very different objectives, creating new meanings by juxtaposition. This is something that so a montage technique which is very deeply related to poetic techniques. For example, I've been looking at the work of experimental Mexican filmmakers such as Bruno Varela, the Los Ingrávidos Collective, who work a lot with intervened footage, intervened found footage with a political intent. Also the Colombian filmmaker Felipe Guerrero, whose work, who made a film called Paraíso, which I wrote about in a previous project that Ben and I did together, which is tries to kind of adapt Nadaísta poetry from Colombia into a kind of found footage idiom.
Yeah, and there's a sort of longer background to this. It occurred to me we first started working on this or thinking about this in sort of London when we were doing our PhDs together in about 2001, and a sort of conversation outside one or another tube station about films that adapt poetry. So it's kind of the coming to fruition of a much longer conversation. One of the things along the way was a panel at LASA that we organised with a number of other researchers who are interested in that stage in the ways in which film adapted poetry, and that fed into a special edition of Spanish and Latin American cinemas. But then we started, I think, to think more about this as a two-way relationship and less about questions of adaptation and how poetry appears on screen, and more about this as a dialogue. And that, I think, is related to a wider intellectual context and other areas of interest that we see people working on contemporary art. Ideas around intermediality, of course, questions of the non-medium specific, thinking of somebody like Florencia Garamuño and her work Formas Comunes, all about works of art that refuse to obey generic boundaries or that deliberately blur the lines between one form or another. There's been quite a lot of work recently on what might be called interdisciplinary or perhaps better said, indisciplined art. And more widely, this general interest, particularly amongst European scholars in intermediality, within Hispanic studies, you might think of somebody like Julio Prieto, who's written on this quite a bit. And in contrast to that, there's also within film studies a slightly more critical view from somebody like Lucia Najib and her work on impure cinema.
And this whole debate about interdisciplinarity and impurity in discipline, the intermedial, is very related to discussions which are happening at the moment and practices which are happening at the moment within audiovisual culture. There's a sense that it's the whole category of cinema itself is in crisis, given digital technologies, the use of online platforms, the presence of cinema in museums, in the gallery space, certainly, especially within experimental cinema. For example, In Mexico, the one of the foremost platforms for experimental cinema is the FICUNAM, which is the UNAM University International Film Festival, which is organized every year in cinema screens, but in tandem with a contemporary art museum, which is just around the corner. And I think this is just one example of the way in which contemporary art galleries, museums, cinemas are increasingly converging, whereby contemporary art museums are increasingly exhibiting experimental film and exhibiting audiovisual materials, which are consumed in very different ways to the traditional darkened film auditorium. And the presence of poetry in this kind of work is very prominent. I think this has got a lot to do with the fact that viewers and filmmakers and curators and programmers are looking for different ways in which people can engage with audiovisual works. At the same time, we don't want to suggest that this is an entirely new phenomenon. Cinema has been an intermedial art form from the very beginning, from as far back as the silent era, early 20th century. And this is something that silent cinema scholarship has been looking at for some years now. Obviously, we talk in our book quite a lot about Eisenstein, even though our book is focused on Latin America, but Eisenstein, as a practitioner and as a theorist of cinema, is incredibly important in the 1910s, 1920s, as somebody who's looking at how a new poetics of this new art form, cinema, can be created in dialogue with, as I was saying before, the 19th century novel, revolutionary theatre, the haiku, etc. So poetry is very much part of the way in which cinema starts to think of itself as an art form from the very beginning. And the two publication projects that Ben and I have edited along these lines also look back at this longer history of the poetry film nexus to see how film and poetry intersect during the silent era.
And I think we're also interested in trying to nail down what it is people mean. Or if not nailed down, then think of the very richness of this term poetic or poetry when talking about film. There's this very strong tendency amongst critics and academic commentators when looking at contemporary Latin American filmmakers to use this term poetic when they talk about their filmmaking. And there's a huge range of directors, from Martel with a film like Sama, Carlos Regalas, the Argentine Lisandro Alonso, or the Chilean documentary filmmaker Patricio Guzman. There's this real tendency for critics to talk about them as making poetic films. And it can be a really useful sort of shorthand term. But we're quite interested in what that actually means in practice, in technical terms. And one of the things that these volumes, and the latest volume, does is bring together films that are referred to as poetic and actually analyse what that really means.
Yeah, there's a sense, I think, sometimes in contemporary film criticism and probably historical film criticism as well, that this use of the word poetic is a bit of a catch-all term, and it can be a bit of an empty signifier sometimes, in that describing a film as poetic somehow suggests that it's contemplative, highbrow, it has some sort of relationship with slow cinema. It's a kind of film maybe that allows the viewer time and space to reflect. But I think we need to think, as Ben was saying, about what is meant when we talk about the film as being poetic. And one of the things that we've realized by editing this journal issue and this book is that poetic and poetry can mean a very wide range of things to filmmakers, to film critics, to the whole creative business of cinema.
Yeah, and there's a sort of, not exactly a paradox, but at the same time, there are also filmmakers and even kind of subgenres who quite explicitly court poetry, either through citational practices or through actually just what they call their work. So Perrone, again, to come back to Raul Perrone, a film like his Corsario, with this kind of very explicit engagement with Pasolini. Pasolini is obviously a key figure through his essays on the cinema of poetry. So someone like Perrone, or also contemporary video poets, for example, video poetas, who very explicitly, they're making something that they claim to be poetic. And there's a volume actually coming out, which partly includes, partly focuses on Latin American filmmakers, by Sarah Tremlett, called The Poetics of Poetry Film. But there, where filmmakers quite explicitly engage with poetry, often the films are poetic in ways that are quite different from those films that are called poetic by the critics and the academic commentators.
And we're also interested in the way in which, as I was saying before, that these contemporary forums for creating spaces for experimental audiovisual work tend to move towards poetic idioms in order to say, as I was saying before, create these spaces for different modes of spectatorial engagement. We're talking about films that work in the interstices between art house, experimental cinema, contemporary art, and also film archives. I mentioned a little while ago the case of Ficunam in Mexico City. Another interesting case is the MUTA, Festival Internacional de Apropiación Audiovisual. So that would be the MUTA, International Festival of Audiovisual Appropriation, which has been going for a few years in Peru. And again, this is a festival that programs a lot of work that's been made at the moment in Latin America, with found footage, with resignified, re-semantized footage. This is a cinema that's just very deeply interested in the materiality of cinema, and this is something that's got to do with the digital turn in the creation, on audiovisual creation, this interest that there is in contemporary audiovisual work in going back to the material, to the materiality of the analog. And I think it's interesting the way in which filmmakers who have this deep interest in the ways in which they can express what is changing in the materiality of cinema from the analog to the digital, tend to look towards, as I was saying before, the kind of poetic montage, but also the actual use of the presence of poetry in voiceovers, in subtitles even sometimes as well. For instance, Bruno Varela, Los Ingrávidos film collective that we mentioned before. There's a sense that this, there's also a relationship between the way in which the audiovisual and the poetic intersect, which has got to do with the turn from the analog towards the digital.
Yeah, and this, you know, you've got to see it in the longer history of film and the longer history of film criticism, and that one of the things that filmmakers and film critics have certainly in the early years struggled quite hard to do was to identify film as an art form in its own right. Early readings of it wanted to see it as an offshoot of photography or as a version of painting or simply a way of just screening theatrical performances. And so in a sense, the intermediality or the turn to poetry is, if not contradictory, then it's interesting to read that in a longer history of film trying to identify itself as film, as an art form in its own right.
Yeah, and this is why in the 1910s, 1920s, before sound film came out, you get a strong current of what is called medium specificity criticism. Theorists such as Rudolf Arnheim and other theorists in Latin America as well, a lot of film critics and chroniclers in Latin America, are very interested in this, in the role of criticism almost as a way of justifying cinema as its own art form. So there's a kind of sense that sometimes the relationships with other art forms would be disavowed. And this is something which is very much questioned in contemporary criticism. And there's also a reason why theorists in the present day are looking at the similarities between the current turn from analog to digital and what was happening in the 1910s and the 1920s in cinema. Thomas Elsesser, for example, has looked at this. There's also theorists such as in Argentina,
Gonzalo Aguilar, David Ubiña.
Gonzalo Aguilar, David Ubiña have looked at this, the way in which the turn towards the digital contemporary criticism in a way kind of echoes what was happening in technological change in cinema in the 1910s and the 1920s, and the way in which there's this need for filmmakers and critics to find out what the poetic nature of the medium is at a moment of technological transition.
And that's, yeah, it's a long-standing interest from film critics. You think of, obviously, André Bazin, Eisenstein, also someone like, actually, as you mentioned, Octavio Paz, writing about Buñuel, where one of the things that poetry is on the one hand, is a kind of model or resource for film, but then the sort of flip side to that is that filmmakers, particularly in the surrealist or the avant-garde tradition, see film as a medium to access poetry. And then that sort of follows down later into the 20th century. If you look at some of Andrei Tarkovsky's writings about film, and Tarkovsky has been a clearly see his interest, his influence on filmmakers like Regalas, like Alonso, by which film is a kind of means of accessing poetry. And Tarkovsky is an odd one because although he's got, you know, citations of poetry in a number of his films and his, you know, citations of his father's poetry, at the same time, actually, there's a sort of skepticism about written poetry. And it seems that there's this sort of idealized form that we call poetry that various art forms can access. You know, you might sort of even think of it as a sort of Platonic ideal form of poetry, which is slightly problematic if you're a monist in any way. But he's not alone, Tarkovsky, in seeing film as a means by which one accesses this thing, inverted commas, poetry, which isn't by any means necessarily an actually written, printed form of language.
Yeah, and this takes us into looking at the way in which, in our book and in our previous journal issue, the different authors who've contributed to these projects have looked at the different ways in which poetry appears within films, or the different ways in which the cinematic and the poetic either intersect or form part of one another. It can be in some cases, for example, the film by Pablo Horta that Jessica Wax Edwards looks at, one of the films that Jessica Wax Edwards looks at in her piece on Javier Cecilia, is a case of the poet as a narrative voice, also as a person, as a character. The poet as a character, and the poet as the writer of the narrative voice that frames the images in a film. It can be the poetic as a kind of distinct register that brings us out of the main register of the film. And there's a very famous round table discussion from the 1960s in which Maya Deren, the American avant-garde filmmaker, took part in dialogue with other people, including Dylan Thomas and different poets and critics. And in that talk, Maya Deren talked about the difference between what she called verticality and horizontality. She said that any film has a horizontal aspect which relates to its narrative form and the advancement of plot and the drama, the construction of drama, and the verticality, which refers to what she called the poetic dimension, which is more to do with the ways in which meaning is created through more affective or bodily or metaphorical registers. So this is not a case of a poem being read out during a film, but it's a case of a way in which film creates a mode of different modes of expression within its structure. There's other cases, for example, the case of La Fórmula Secreta, which is written about by Erika Segre in our book, which is a Mexican experimental film made in the 1960s as well, which is a case of a poet and or a writer and a filmmaker, Juan Rulfo and Rubén Gámez, working almost in symbiosis with each other. So this is not a case of a poem being adapted to film, and it's not a case of of poetry being used as a voiceover or as a text in order to inform the images, but that the entire structure of the film is created out of this symbiosis between Gámez and Rulfo. There's also something that I mentioned before about in these found footage films, faked found footage films, sometimes by Bruno Varela, in which subtitles are used as poetic texts. Anyway, these are just a few different modes of interaction between the poetic and the cinematic that we've looked at.
Yeah, and so there were sort of whole series of areas that we kind of realized that we hadn't fully explored in the original Studies in Spanish and Latin American Cinemas edited volume, bit geographically, chronologically as well, going back and looking at very early cinema, silent cinema, also sometimes called kind of pre-cinema, tricks and illusions and magic, you know, sort of magic lantern. And on top of that, also perhaps an area that we didn't feel we'd necessarily explore fully was the political angle. To what extent can the incorporation of poetry within film have an expressly political purpose, or whether there's a political effect there? And so what we're going to do in the run up to the panel, then, as well as obviously posting this conversation, is to include a series of films and some film clips. And hopefully, as well as inspiring our participants to reflections on the subject, they'll also inspire some questions from viewers. Just to give one example, one of the films is by Nicolás Pereda, Todo en fin el silencio lo ocupaba, which is a film that focuses on the figure of Sor Juana, the colonial or golden age era nun, writer, poet, dramatist. But it's a film, some people would see it within this overarching title of kind of slow cinema, like Bellatar, Regalas and others. But it takes quite an atypical approach to how you screen both the figure of a famous person. It's a very long way away from the typical biopic that you might see in something like Maria Luisa Bemberg's version, her film of Sor Juana, Yo la Peor de Todas. So it takes a very unconventional approach to her poetry and her figure through the use of what might be seen as slow cinema techniques, through a series of kind of poetic failures, sort of failures to film the sequence, failures to read the poem, and also this kind of overwhelming darkness in the clip, and we'll probably talk more about that at a later stage as well.
In the roundtable discussion, we've invited two of the authors from our book to to talk to us, to discuss some of these issues, and to flesh out the different ways in which we can conceive of this poetry film nexus. One of them is Carlos Adriano, who's a Brazilian filmmaker, experimental filmmaker. He's also a scholar, and we're hoping to be able to make one of his films available on the website. And he's very much involved with the use of found footage in order to reflect upon film history and questions of the historicity of cinema through montage. We're also inviting Jessica Wax Edwards, whose work I mentioned a few minutes ago, on two different films, whose article is about two different films which were made about the poet Javier Sicilia, who became an activist in Mexico several years ago after the tragic death of his son. And he withdrew from poetry in order to become an activist. And this is about, in a way, the insufficiency of poetry in order to make a political impact. So in a way, we've got to a point where we're looking at not only what is the potential, but also what are the limits of poetry.
Yeah, and so some of the questions that we hope we're going to be able to explore in the panel discussion and that we've asked our contributors to think about is the nature of film as a medium within its history, the political questions around generic specificity, also the, let's say, the cultural position of a form like cinema that's striven to achieve status in its own right, whose practitioners often keenly defend artistic and technical specificity against this drive to blur the boundaries or the limits between different genres and forms. And also then some of the possible links between this thing that we call the poetry film nexus and questions around political agency. So thank you, David, for sharing this conversation with us. And we look forward to talking further with Jessica Wax Edwards and Carlos Adriano about this question of the film poetry nexus.
Thank you, Ben, as well for doing this project together with me, and we'll see you all on the discussion panel.